You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. The joys of equipment. You know, one of the things that happens here, we have to move things around sometimes, and when we do, we end up sometimes with those little technical glitches. But we're over that. Welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this planet, welcome to the show. And if you happen to be catching this show from some other planet, we welcome you as well. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And I hope you make a habit out of this. It's a good habit to get into. Now, if you're joining us for the very first time, you need to know about something called the K-Files E-Zine. Now, the K-Files E-Zine is our free weekly newsletter. And being the free weekly newsletter means that we have no strings attached. So when you subscribe, you can unsubscribe anytime you decide to. There are no strings attached, and we never share our email list with anybody. We don't rent it out, lease it, loan it. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of subscribing. Now, I'll tell you why it's important for you to subscribe. It's important for you to subscribe to the K-Files E-Zine because that's the primary way that we keep people updated on what's going on here at the show. And a whole lot of the emails that I get asking questions about what about this, what about that, were answered in last week's K-Files E-Zine. And so I know either you didn't subscribe or you haven't read it. But I cannot answer all of those. There's just no way for me to answer all of those individually. I answer them in the K-Files E-Zine. All right, look, the Large Hadron Collider, you know, the big super atom smasher that's going to be turned on in August over in Switzerland. There was a lawsuit brought in Hawaii against the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation. The person who brought that lawsuit is a lawyer, but is also a physicist, and said that the environmental safety studies and reports that were done before constructing this thing had major flaws in it. And so the lawsuit was brought to try and stop the turning on this Large Hadron Collider. And we've talked about that some on the show, but it was in the news again this past week because it was back in court where lawyers for the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation requested that the suit be dismissed. Now, you might be asking yourself, why would they even be involved? I mean, that's over in Switzerland. Well, they're involved because the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation have agreed to pay $87 million a year in the operating costs of that Large Hadron Collider. Should be interesting to see how this one works out. My guest this evening will be Emily Craig. I bet this is going to blow your socks off. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs in many cases right there at GarageBand.com. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. My guest this evening is Emily Craig. Emily Craig is one of the individuals that I have met. I actually haven't met her face to face, but on the telephone. Whose story is really so, I would say, unique that it just captivated my attention. If you've read the blurb about her on my website, then you've gotten a taste of that. Emily, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank Thank you, Kevin. Thank you very much.
One of the things that I want us to talk about first is something that's in your biographical information. It says about your parentage. Tell us about that.
Well, that was a long time ago, and my father was living in the Bahamas, and he was interested in the UFO issue out of Germany. They were back engineering UFOs from the 1930s, and he knew that, he found out that Fort Huachuca, Arizona was the premier spook base for UFOs during the 40s. So he got himself invited there on the condition that he would give a pep talk and inspect the troops. Well, my mother was an Army nurse at Fort Huachuca, and they were both very enamored with alcohol, and so they spent the weekend together, and I was born 9 months later in San Francisco, and that was that. The Duke was never in a position financially to support any children at all based on his stipend from his brother George VI, and so he just let me be put up for adoption. And I didn't find out about the whole matter till I was about 38 years old. He had been dead 10 years, and my mother came to my home when I was bearing my fourth child, and she told me about it, and I thought she was crazy. I thought she was nuts. I didn't believe her. It wasn't until 10 years later when the son, well, I guess it was 20 years later, when the son that was born to me at 38 was 22 years old, and I matched a picture of Edward Scott next to Edward David, and they were both 22, and the pictures matched like twins, that I realized that my mother had told me the truth. Well, you know, when you're 60-odd years old, and your father was king 70 years ago, and then he was sort of booted out because he wasn't politically correct, nobody really cares. I don't have any pretensions around claiming anything at all. I just happen to have that background. And that's how it is.
I got to tell you, it's pretty amazing stuff. I also will have to say to the audience, I have absolutely no idea why my microphone is so excessively hot, but it is. I've got it turned way down, but we'll see what happens here.
Okay. Well, I do get a lot of interference, a lot of blockages. My email is blocked. I have telephone tapping. I have, because of my background and because of the family I grew up in who were communists from the 30s and 40s, I've been known to the CIA since long before I was born. So I have a lot of surveillance to deal with.
All right. Well, maybe that's the answer, because my audio is really strange tonight. All right. Emily, you have gotten involved. Well, let's talk about your educational background as well before we get into what it is that you've dived off into here.
Okay, well, in my 20s, I was doing anthropology PhDs for University of California doctoral students. So I have some background in anthropology. And I went to work for Xerox. I became a Xerox repair guy, and I used to work on Xerox machines. And then I was one of their trainers, and the anti-discrimination games got too much for me, so I left that and became a trainer for George Washington University, and then I had my own business. And I went to college in my 40s and got a master's degree at 49. I taught for 3 years at George Mason University in the communication department. I taught a consensus methodology called interactive management, which was created and devised by Dr. John N. Warfield, professor emeritus, and he's one of my master teachers. And then I went to work as a teacher, and then I took care of my mother till she died. And then I got sick and got out of the swing of things for a while. And now I'm back with two websites, and I'll be starting my own radio show again on July 11th on republicradio.com. And the last few months, I've been consumed by this passion for Mars.
Why?
Pardon?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, a couple of reasons. My youngest son is a senior at West Point Military Academy. And I've been appalled by the way our military are being used as cannon fodder in this very illegal war. About 6 months ago, I happened to run across that picture, the statue on Mars taken by the rover of whatever it was. And so I started using some of my documenting and photographic skills, because I'd had a pattern, crochet and knitting pattern business for a while, and I had to repair patterns in Photoshop. I went back to the original rover photo, and I found that lady trying to kill a snake with a rock, and I decided, well, she must be a lady. You know, I didn't know. I had never recolored NASA photographs before. And somewhere else on that same photograph, I found a grouping of five cats, five felines. And I have, I don't know if I sent you that picture, but I have it, the five felines.
Now, are we talking about rock formations?
No, we're talking about cats with tails and fur. We're talking about real honest-to-God cats.
All right.
And that's when I realized that there was something going on Mars that NASA isn't talking about, because according to NASA, there can't be a group of five cats there, okay? There's something does not connect here.
Well, yeah, that would seem to be a normal response from them.
Yeah, but that it's impossible. So I began downloading the pictures from NASA, either black and white or false color, and stripping out the color and trying to teach myself how to make sense of these photographs that I could tell what NASA does to them. They strip out the color, and then they increase the contrast to maximum so you only have a black and white field of what looks like rocks. But if you reduce the contrast back down and add the color back in, not just the red, blue, green, which gives you a flat two-dimensional picture, but add in just a touch of the cyan, magenta, and yellow to give you some depth, then you can actually see what the picture's detail was about. Well, surprise, surprise. Every picture I touched had details in it that NASA says can't be there. So I began I contacted NASA, the Office of Inspector General, and then the Public Inquiries Group, and Mr. Michael Cattage, honest to God, is his name, and he's in charge of public inquiries. And they told me, just send us, you know, the information, and we'll see if we can get the matter corrected. I sent them about 25 emails. They never responded at all. But by the time I had done that, I learned how to get a good color photograph out of a bad NASA original. So the early ones are pretty raunchy, okay, but the later ones are better. I'm just a techie.
All right, so tell us some of the things that you have discovered in these photographs.
Okay. First of all, the Mars environment is very harsh. It's like Bangladesh in the spring in the north. It just floods everywhere. And in the south, they have better access to groundwater, so they have a more reliable garden system.
Well, now, wait a minute. Before you go too far, let me just comment that, of course, NASA says that, and we've all been led to believe, that there's no flowing water on Mars.
this week, the NASA on their site today, there are three pictures of deep water on NASA's Phoenix site. I recolored those three so that they are natural, but I didn't send them to you. I can send those to you too. They have the most ridiculous colors you have ever. They have pink rocks and blue water. That's not the color of the water on Mars. We also have pictures of Mars with the north covered with snow. We have pictures of Mars during their spring thaw when everything is just nothing but mud. That huge rover picture where I got the statue, okay, the whole right side of that picture, the direction rover is going, is nothing but a sea of mud. Mars is great for mud.
Well, you know, spirit and opportunity, both of those began to, you know, trek across Mars. And I forget which one, but one of them sent a picture back where the camera had turned around and was taking a picture behind the rover and got a picture of the track, and it looked like mud.
Exactly.
And
right.
Stephen Squires even commented on that and said that looks, you know, he said the soil has a little more plasticity than we expected there. We'll have to check into that, and we'll get back to you on that. It was in a press conference. Guess what? Nobody's gotten back to anybody about it.
Well, okay, and I have that photo, okay, but also the rover photo with the statue in the far left-hand corner is just full of water. There's spraying water and there's water coming down the hillsides. They have a spring thaw, and so in the spring, everybody's in the water. And then things dry out and it becomes more brown and yellow in the summer, and then in the fall it goes to brown and red and gray and brown, and then in the winter it becomes white and tan and brown. See, and the colors go through this rotation, so that fall's color, always red, is obviously inappropriate because they have seasons. They have seasons like we do. Not as extreme. One of the things I found out about the rover was that it witnessed, I'm not going to say it caused, but I can certainly testify to the fact that it witnessed a couple of very bad accidents. I sent you the pictures of the Mars Ridge, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you see there are people peeking out of the of holes in that big cliff face, and they're trying to understand what happened, and over on the left there's this horrific accident with boulders coming down crushing people. I didn't even notice until after I talked to you earlier, Kevin. If you look along the ground of that particular photo, you see bodies. It's horrible. It's horrible, the accident that Rover witnessed.
All right, I'll tell you what. Which picture is that?
That's Mars Ridge Slide, and the Mars People. I pulled out three or four people and the picture of the accident with the boulders crushing people, and set those aside for you. Those were the first two that I sent you.
That's the Mars People at the crater, is that it?
That's it. Those are the people that you can see if you look at the Mars Ridge photo. There's one naked lady in the basement, okay? There's a weazened up little old man with a Sikh turban, which I thought was fascinating, and a shopping basket. And there's a very pregnant woman wearing a cook's cap. See those three?
Well, I'm trying to.
Yeah, they're hard to see. They're hard to see, but you know.
All right.
You can see.
Okay. Now there's. I got a total of five pictures in this composite here.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we take the first one at the top, there's three at the top and two at the bottom.
Correct.
All right, so the first one at the top, what am I looking at?
Let me open this up so I can see just... Okay, the first one at the top, the yellow one?
Yeah.
You're looking at naked somebody. Okay? Way back in the shade.
Okay, I'll have to zoom in on that. I can't do that
on
the video.
Okay, the guy in the middle, okay, is the little weazened up Sikh guy with the turban and a shopping basket. See in the little light box? He's hard to see, too.
Yeah, I can see that there's something there that does not look like just rocks, but I can't tell what I'm looking at.
Okay.
All right,
then
let's
on
look
the right,
the, mm-hmm.
on the right, you see the dark-skinned lady with the cook's cap and the big pregnant belly. She's sitting with her knees sticking out.
And she's facing towards the right.
Yes.
I see that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's ready to deliver. Okay, now the bottom left, you see people in the process of falling. They're actually still falling.
I can make out what looks to me like a figure in the on the right side of that photograph.
Yes, on the right side, and then the gray one on the right side, you see the big rock that has crushed a guy. And some people trying to lift that rock, and a guy with a big cape leaning over trying to help, and people in the background.
Now, you have to understand, what I'm looking at is the same exact size that my audience is viewing.
Yeah.
Okay, on my video player on my screen. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So they're watching it on a little little video screen on their computers.
Okay.
All right.
I couldn't download that. I'd like to be able to, but I couldn't. I have a Linux system.
Yeah. Yeah. Now what we're going to have to do, and I will do this, is put these pictures up on a page on my site where people can see them. Zoomed where they can look in a little bit closer. But now, what is this dark pattern, the one that's on the lower right? What is that dark pattern in the sand that we're looking at?
Dark pattern in the sand.
Yeah, it's all of the picture is white and gray except for a sort of beige or yellow pattern that's...
That's a guy in a cape leaning over to the left.
I see. Okay.
And so that gray flat thing, okay, is a huge boulder that's on top of the guy who's lying under it by the man's right foot.
Okay.
People are trying to lift the rock.
We're getting very, very close to a break here. I want to put a photo up of the Mars slide.
Okay.
Looks like it didn't change. Here we go. Yeah, that's the same.
It's hard to see.
Yeah, here we go. There we go. All right.
Okay, now but the Mars slide, you can see how bad it was.
Yeah,
better.
That's a pretty clear picture.
Yeah, I'm getting
slide.
Better.
Let's see, what
Take
does that
practice.
Say? Mars side...
Mars Ridge slide.
Mars Ridge slide, yeah. All right, now what caused that slide?
Well, isn't it a coincidental that the rover just happened to be traveling by when it happened?
Maybe coincidental, maybe not. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, more with this amazing story and these photographs from Emily Craig.
I was the king of England, and all I saw belonged to me. I'd give it all away if the right one came along. If I believed in magic and I could conjure up a Venus with a wave, I'd send her away. Crystal vision, she stands before me breathing, but for now I'm only dreaming till the right one comes along. In this cold and solitary world, you pay for diamonds and you get four pearls, but I'm not.
We are back. My guest this evening is Emily Craig, and we're talking about Mars. Now, Emily, your take on Mars is really quite different from what we've heard from a lot of other people about Mars.
Yep.
You're saying that Mars is not only inhabitable, but is inhabited.
I want you to look at picture that I sent you. P2356. Look at the guy just sitting there.
Let me find that. Just a moment.
It was in the first grouping, the third picture.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, how clear can we get?
Yeah, let me get back to that. I'm still learning how to use this software.
Okay, cool.
There we go. Now, you're talking about the inset box in the picture? Okay.
Yes, now I always put the inset box with the corner pointing to the actual object. Because the inset box is quadruple the size of the actual object. But in that particular case, the young man with his Bob Kennedy haircut is just as clear as day.
Right. Now, how, on scale, how big is this person?
I have no way to know that.
I mean, are these human-sized people, or are these people that are little bitty tiny fellows, or what?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. All I know is they look like humans, and they seem to act like them. So we're just going to have to wait on that one.
Now, what makes you think that this is not perhaps just a strange rock formation there?
Well, for one thing, there's some ladies up further in the hill. But for another thing, I've been over enough of the terrain of Mars to see the seasons, to see where the water flows, where the greenery grows, where the military bases are. I found a couple of recreation areas. I've really had a pretty good look at the planet, and there's people in almost every, live people or dead people, in just about every picture. You know, they have a different way of handling their dead. Because of the austere atmosphere and low humidity, they place their dead out in the open with a rock covering from the feet up to the neck so that the face and feet are exposed. And they mummify their dead that way. And so a couple of the pictures I have are cemeteries where these rock sarcophagi are in place, and you can see the dead there. They have a very odd way of dealing with death. They have different dress codes. There are some of the people who always wear Quaker-type hats. There are other people who always wear turbans. I have one picture, it's very hard to see, of a group of women carrying large bundles of fibers on their head, and they're in the shade under a rock crevasse, so that it's very, very hard to see them. But I've gotten a sense of their work and of their housing and their recreation, and it's just a pretty decent place. There's no billboards. There's no asphalt jungles. There's no. There are cities that have monumental buildings, but the satellite photos that I have for them, and they're all in craters, are too far away for me to see any detail. I can't see any people in those cities, like the R9212. And the PIA 9971. I'm just too far away to be able to see any bodies. Well, you know, I do what I can.
Hi, we're taking a look at this PIA 9971. What are we supposed to be seeing here?
Well, see in the box there. Now, this is right in the front of an enormous panorama, and in the box there's a man kneeling and scowling at the camera. And behind that white thing, behind him, I don't know what it is, there's another guy carrying something. Now, this is at the foot of the Victoria Crater, about a third of the way around the crater from where that accident happened. See, the guy's got a funny little hat on.
I have a hard time seeing that because of the size on the video. All right, now you said PIA 9971. What was the other one?
Where was I? Oh, gosh, I've got so many numbers. What was that? I lost track of where I was. I try to keep the original numbers so that they can be referred back to their original source copies.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I want us to take a look at is the one that says Mars Spirit Housing.
Mars? Yes. I found that one in a forum, and the person who put it up thought that it was a piece of hardware that happened to have a rectangular notch in it. And when I cleaned it off and recolored it, what I found was that it's actually a structure, and there are three dogs between it and the smaller structure behind it. You can see three dogs sitting.
I don't see three dogs. Where would I look?
In between the two structures.
Mm-hmm.
In the shadow of the second one, there are three dogs sitting.
I see something that looks like one on the right side of that shadow.
That's right. And there's two more in the shadow, but you can see the one on the right side pretty clearly. There are dogs there. There are horses. There are cows. There are cows.
What are they? Are they this housing, as you call it? It does have a rectangular opening on one side of it. What have they hollowed out a rock here? Is that what this is?
Oh, I really couldn't. I really don't know what it is. I know that it's out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, it's not in a community housing or suburban housing or city housing structure. So it's, I have no idea. Not a clue.
Okay.
Your guess is as good as mine on that one.
All right, well, guide us through a couple of others here. Do I have any pictures here of water?
Let's see. I didn't send you lake. I didn't send you Mars Pole Sea. No, I didn't send you water.
All right.
I only have about 1,000 photos, so sorry.
All right. For people who think that there's no way that Mars could actually be inhabitable, you know, word that it is possibly inhabitable is beginning to come out now from NASA. Just last week, NASA released information about, they've been scooping up soil and analyzing it with the new lander up there, the Phoenix.
Yeah.
And they said, this is dirt just like in your backyard. You could grow asparagus in it.
Do you think that might have had anything to do with the fact that the week before I sent them about 40 pictures of areas on Mars that were green and gardened and alive? Do you think that
might
have had anything to do with it?
I have no way of knowing that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I had to laugh when they start making announcements about, well, maybe Mars isn't so bad after all. It's really not. And the Phoenix, if anybody knows anything about handling photographs, you go to the NASA Phoenix Project and download their panoramas and simply lighten them. You don't even have to do anything about color because they're black and white. Just lighten them about three-quarters of the way, and you will see people in them just the way they are.
One of the big mysteries about, I think it was Spirit Rover, was that the panels were getting covered, the solar panels were getting covered with dust, Mars dust. And the batteries were beginning to die. And they said, well, you know, we don't have much time left with the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, they got cleaned off. And they were being cleaned off. This is the mystery. They were being cleaned off every night.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, a friend of a friend who works for JPL and works on the photographs admits that the people walk right up to the rover.
Wait a minute. Time out. Say that again.
A friend of a friend. I heard this. This is a rumor.
Okay.
A friend who has a friend who works at JPL, where they do a lot of the photographic processing, said that they have pictures of people walking right up to the rover. Now, you know, they are surveilled. That whole planet is surveilled by the same kind of metallic orbs that have been seen all over and reported as UFOs here. And the metallic orbs tend to be focused in areas where the military are. So those people are used to being surveilled, unlike a lot of us. I don't know how they reach.
Emily, I hate to do it. We have to take a break. Folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com. Before we get back to our guest, Emily Craig, let me answer a couple of questions that have come in. First of all, one question that has come in from several people is, what's the deal with the audio? Well, I don't know. It is a mystery to me, and we're working on it. It is much improved over what it was at the beginning of the show, and we will continue adding filters in. We didn't change anything. There's not anything that I did from Friday till today to change anything, but there you go. And the other question is, what's the deal with that across the top of the screen where it says Webcam Max? Again, I know what it is. I don't know why it is. When you download that program and you are test driving it, that appears. when you pay for it and register it, that's supposed to go away. We paid for it and registered it. It hasn't been there in any of the shows where you've seen the video. Today it's there, and I can't get rid of it. I don't know. It's a mystery, but I've written to their support people, and we'll find out and see if we can figure out what's the deal there. All right, let's get back to our guest, Emily Craig. And, yeah, you see, when I bring you online, it goes really hot. I think you've got help tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so you're saying, number one, Mars is inhabitable. Number two, it is inhabited.
Right. I just sent you water pictures, so you've got a bunch of those now.
Okay. Well, I there's no way I can put them into the video in the computer.
Yeah, that's for later.
Yeah. And we'll put that on the web page that I'm going to put up right after the show. All right. Your degree is in conflict resolution.
Right. It's basically conflict analysis.
Okay, conflict analysis. All right, and where is that degree from?
George Mason University, 1993.
All right, doing some conflict analysis here, looking at what you're talking about in these photographs, and then looking at NASA and their perspective on this thing. Would you think that what you're doing would be causing some conflict for NASA?
The truth, yes, the truth does cause, well, the truth confronts the desire and the intention to deceive. And there is a discrepancy between the actual real content of NASA photographs as correctly portrayed and the text of their explanations about what's going on at NASA. And that's the discrepancy that I have asked NASA to explain to me. Why do the photographs say one thing and their text say something else?
Okay, what do their texts say about this?
The texts say, and I mean, you can, the SETI group says, if we ever find life on Mars, and NASA says, if we ever find life on Mars, or maybe there was life on Mars thousands of years ago, and we find this little biological thing and that little bit of water. They're playing a game with us. They're playing a game with our heads, and they have the news media's complicity in repeating over and over and over again, there's no life on Mars. If we ever find out about it, we'll tell you. Well, that's not true.
Okay. Now, do a little analysis on that. Why would they tell us that?
Well, there is a matter. I'm guessing. Okay, can I guess?
Sure.
I'm guessing that it's a matter of avoiding accountability. It's a matter of Copernicus. Was the one who finally realized that the whole universe does not revolve around the Earth.
Yeah.
And so our scientists in NASA are pre-Copernican. They believe that the entire physical universe is centered in and consists only of humanity that's on this planet. And that's why they debunk and deny ETs and UFOs. If we, the humans on this planet, are the only game in this solar system or in this part of the galaxy, then the leaders of this civilization, this nation, this group of globalist corporations can do whatever they want with impunity without fear of being condemned or brought to justice. They have nobody to answer to. And that's what I think the NASA denial about life on other planets is a denial of accountability for the effects that are being created by imperialistic preemptive wars and population reduction strategies, and we're only killing you for your own good kind of methodologies. The end justifies the means. I think that's what it is. It's a philosophical rationale that allows our government to torture people, to go in and kill who knows how many Iraqis and Afghanistanians. That's what I think it is.
Well, at the risk of sounding political, and this is the first time we've talked about this, so you don't know, I am completely apolitical. You know, the problem with using a term like torture is that, you know, it's sort of, they do this with the word terrorist. They say, well, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. I reject that, but that's what they say. And with the torture thing, they say, well, you know, one man's torture is another man's intensive interrogation. And, you know, it's a matter, truly, a matter for interpretation, and I think eventually will be interpreted by some courts, as has been signaled.
Nuremberg courts, yes, I think that's very
important.
Well,
that's been signaled by the Supreme Court. A lot of people would say it has not, but I think it has. That's gonna be the upshot of this ruling that they gave on Guantanamo Bay. I think that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a byproduct of it.
If you look at the Society of Mars, and I'm doing a Mars anthropology study now. If you look at the way their society is configured, without fences, without billboards, without asphalt, they stay very close to the land, like our indigenous utopians did, the Iroquois and the Inuit and the Australian Aborigines, and a lot of the indigenous peoples of this world were actually utopias, where the people themselves governed themselves by consent of the people. They agreed and came to consensus about how they wanted to govern themselves. It looks, from what I'm looking at, like looking at on Mars, as if there's not an overriding tyrannical centralization of power. It looks as if they're not spoiling their planet with landfills and plastics filling up waste areas.
Well, you know, as you look at those photographs, it doesn't look like they have the industrial infrastructure to create those products.
Well, maybe that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could call me a Luddite in some respects. Yeah. But if we had the comparison to make between the Earth's planetary leadership and Mars' planetary leadership, it's going to bring up some issues that our current leadership doesn't want to deal with. Because in our current paradigm, corporations, multinational corporations, basically do whatever they want. You know? And they don't.
Well, it certainly seems that way. And, you know, I don't know. You know, every once in a while, one of these big corporations does get brought to trial or brought to justice on something, but generally speaking, it seems like they pretty much can do whatever they want to do.
Well, United,
yeah, go ahead.
United Fruit brought in the CIA to cause a revolution in the country where they do their business, and they actually brought a government down. I read an article recently that our CIA has served as a hatchet agency for many corporations that want simply a regime change because they couldn't do business the way they wanted to.
That's well, and we can't do business the way we want to either. We have to do business according to the monetary system, which means we have to take a break. So we'll be back right after this.
love that is true.
It can be done. You know that it can be done. It can be done. You know that it can be done. In through the night as the stars shine so bright and shining down upon me, it was guiding my way like a ship that sails, set out from the harbor to the ocean wide. Confidence, of course, it can be done. You know that it can be done. It can be done.
All right, we are back, and my guest this evening is Emily Craig. The studio line is open, and let me get that number for you back up on the screen. And let's see, here we go. There we go. If you want to talk with Emily, if you have a question or a comment, you can call the number that's on your screen right now, 1-623-581-5148. 623-581-5148. And we're talking about Mars. Now, Emily says that Mars not only is inhabitable, but it's also inhabited.
Yep.
Emily, you were describing the society that these people are living in, and you were describing it in terms that sound sort of like, you know, the aboriginal, very primitive sort of society that...
Not really, because they have cars, they have trucks. I have a picture of a van. They have those metallic orbs that surveil them. They have large cities, which I haven't been able to get into to see. You know, the cities have some pretty large buildings, but I haven't been able to see that. In one picture yesterday, I saw two airplanes. So they have technology, but most of the people there don't have the wherewithal to utilize it, at least out in the countryside. Now, in the cities, I don't know what they have.
One of the photographs that you sent me is K6 MEC, M-E-C.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, what is that?
Okay, you see the very large, either concrete or stone headers that are creating doorways in that mountain, okay? And if you look closely, you'll notice there are carved paths from the mountain going down into the crater. If you look at those carved paths, you see some bodies in there, and they're very white-skinned, and they have round heads with no hair on them at all. Now, I don't know who those guys are. They're just kind of strange-looking.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Chris. I'm out of Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Okay, Chris. Are you a first-time caller?
No. I've called a couple of times, and this is really interesting to me. Emily, I got a question to ask you. You know, you're describing what appears...
I can't hear him.
Okay, she can't hear you, and we barely can, so you're really going to have to speak up. I've got your volume cranked as high as it'll go.
Well, I'm going to get a different phone. I'm right down the hall. I'm going to get a different phone and see if that works any better. And let me see what we can do. Nothing. Okay, can you hear me better now?
We'll see.
Okay. Now, one thing I want to ask is the figures that she apparently sees there, I mean, there's something that has some kind of a similitude somewhere. You know, we're talking, she says it looks like dogs.
Yeah.
It looks like people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's saying there's strange-looking figures. To her best knowledge, and in reference to what she said about, she said figures or people have come up to the camera of the rover, and these have not been sent out or displayed. How is her discernment saying that these are dogs or these are people? I mean, are these the grays or what? I mean, this is really something. I mean, it's intriguing, but I find a lot of what she's saying, just some of this is really conjecture of what she sees or appears to see, and I'm really trying to understand what she's really seeing.
Okay. Well, let's give her a shot at answering. Were you able to hear that?
Well, sort of. I get the idea that he wonders how in the world I can make these interpretations that what I see is people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just a techie. I just take photographs and strip out the wrong color and put in natural colors, and then I'm looking at them just like you are, trying to figure out what they are, okay? And so all I would suggest is when Kevin gets the pictures, I've sent him my best pictures. When he gets the pictures up, you just take a look and you tell me what you see. I see people. I see gardens. I see he doesn't have a community. I did not send Kevin the pictures of the communities because those are huge. But you just, your guess is as good as mine.
And that's
I'm
fair.
Just processing pictures.
Yeah, and that's fair. I appreciate your honesty on that. And one thing, you're talking about this website is called NASA Phoenix. Is that correct?
What's the name of the website?
Which website are we talking about?
Well, you said where there was a panorama, and you said it was NASA Phoenix.
Oh, it's the Phoenix. The Phoenix Project.
The Phoenix Project.
Phoenix.
Okay.
Like Phoenix, Arizona.
Right. And I go to the NASA webpage, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's right.
I can actually see a panorama much clearer than what I'm seeing on his webcast. Is that correct?
Yes, they are square. They're not big, wide ones like usual. I found four or five square, long views of what looks like fields of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lightened them up and took all the color out of them, there were some figures of people visible in the distance. They're very small. Okay, they're very small. One, a lady with a gaggle of geese, and one house sitting out there with a lady walking up to it. But they're very, very tiny because apparently that lander is sitting on top of a hill and it's shooting its camera. It looks like it's shooting straight at the ground, but actually I believe it's shooting at quite a distance and combining everything from a great distance using the contrast key. By maximizing contrast, it all just looks like a yard full of rocks, and that's what it's not.
Okay. Well, I applaud your bravery to come on the Kevin Smith Show, and also your interpretation of what that may be. I admire the people that, here's the way I look at everything. People who are afraid to die are the self-same ones who are afraid to live. And by you doing what you're doing, I see that, you want people to know the truth about something. Okay? You know, you
we got to figure out what's true.
Pardon?
We've got to figure out what's true.
And that's the whole thing. You know, we're bombarded with so many different things that it really takes a lot of meditation, meditation to find out what is being taught and what is being said. It's just like you or anybody else. We have to do an intense research. You know, I may see something totally different than what you're seeing, you know, on the pictures, but there has to be something there because, I'm thinking, this vast universe, and to think that we're the only ones living in this universe or this or solar system and this whole universe,
But Chris, I have the benefit of having 1,000 photos in my directories. I have been looking at these photos for months. So I see patterns, I see seasons, I see geographical areas. So you begin to pull together or synthesize an experience out of everything you're seeing. Now, I learned how to gather evidence in college in my graduate work. And that's what I'm doing, is gathering physical evidence.
Yeah, and that's what we all need for that, is physical evidence. I think that the whether it is our government, whether it is our newscasters, when people start seeing things that there and we're told that they're not there, that's when, a lot of people are skeptical. You understand what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
it's like the news has a stranglehold over us, and people only believe what they hear and not what they research. And, with me, I like to do research, and I'm going to research what you said tonight. I'm going to research these pictures. I believe that there's life besides our planet. I really believe that. But, like I said, I admire you for coming on the show and giving us your interpolation of what you've seen and everything like that. I may not see these. You understand what I'm saying? I may not see that. But
Chris, we have to move along. I want to thank you for the call. You said you're from Iowa?
No. Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Ohio.
Woo.
All right. Thank you so much for the call.
Hey, Kevin.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Let me say, I've been looking at flash messages, and one of them says that there's a huge, horrible echo, and all I can say about that is if you're getting an echo, you probably have not yet turned off the volume on our player. We've put that on the screen several times. So turn off the volume on the player and see if that works. See, what happens is you're getting the volume from the radio feed in the player. That's normal. When we added video, the service that we use also sends not just the video, but they also send the audio. So you're getting two audio streams. Turn one off and see if it magically sounds right. Some of the flash messages that I'm getting say that they're not buying what you're saying here. Some,
of course.
Some are, some are not. What would you say to that?
Well, it's really, really hard to change a person's mind from the outside. We get the same messages from the media over and over and over and over and over, and we're not even aware that they're being repeated at us. They become so familiar to us. And so an idea like this, that, hey, Mars is not only habitable, but there's lots of people there. It's a disconnect. It sounds preposterous to most people, of course. Of course, I run into it all the time. And I've just learned to give people time to acquaint themselves with the new data, and it's going to take years. How do we confront and repudiate false information when it's repeated at us all the time? It's hard. So I just take that with a grain of salt. I expect it.
The thing that I think is difficult when you're introducing this new information to us, okay? And for you, it's not new. For most of us, the idea that people are living on the surface of Mars is certainly, while we've heard speculations and so forth, certainly it's new in terms of someone saying, I've got photos of it. And when we look at these photos, what we're looking at, and what I'm saying here, I've said previously, we're looking at some of the worst photographs taken by any space agency, and that would be NASA photographs. You can look at Japanese photographs from their space probes. You can look at the European Space Agency and their photographs from their spaceships. And those are just crystal clear. You look at the
NASA. They're crystal clear. But you know what? They're doing the same thing. They're playing the same thing. I have European Space Agency photos that I'm sitting on that I have recolored and found all kinds of stuff in them, too. So, you know, it's a globalist game to pretend that we are the only human species in this solar system. I think it's a globalist tactic.
Why?
Because the Europeans are doing it, too. It's politically expedient not to make any comparison between how our planet is run and how another planet is run.
All right, so what you're saying, I got an email, let's see, where did it come from, the United States. It says, your site is free of politics. Monday's show is about as political as I ever want to hear. I listen to your show to escape Bush bashing and politics. Monday's guest should maybe move if she hates our country so much. Now, the reason I read that is because I haven't actually heard any Bush bashing. And I will say here, because you've not been on the show before, I never defend a guest and their story. If people buy the story, they do. If they don't, they don't.
That's right.
However, I do like to keep things as critically close to the facts as possible. And there hasn't been any Bush bashing in this show.
Hasn't come up.
Hasn't come up.
Hasn't come up.
Now, when we say there's no politics in this show, that doesn't mean that. Here's what that means. This show is not about should you vote for Obama or should you vote for McCain. It's not about Republicans and Democrats. And in general, it isn't about specific policies of government. However, when there is something the government does that touches the subject that we're talking about, which is UFOs and inhabitants on Mars and space exploration, you've got to understand that if we're talking about space exploration, you're talking about a government operation. You're talking about NASA. And
who's telling the truth? We want to know who's telling the truth.
Yeah, and it is a government operation. Now, that's not... We're not talking politics, that's talking government. And there is a difference, a huge difference. Politics is all that nutty stuff that goes on, about Republicans and Democrats and a few other parties, but mainly those two. But government does touch what we're talking about in a big way because it's NASA. And... you know, if their policy is to not tell us the truth about what's on Mars, then I think it's worthy of investigation as to why we're not being told the truth. All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello.
You're on the air. 95 countries are waiting to hear you speak. All right. 1-623-581-5148. When you call, if you try to listen to you on your computer, it isn't going to work. You have to turn off your volume or your radio. You've got to turn off the volume because there is a delay, all right? Just like every other big-time radio station. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Yes, Dick?
I think your lady is right on target. I think I've told the audience this before. And for those who don't care to believe, that's just too bad. You know, we've talked about that before, Kevin.
Yeah, we have. Why do you think she's on target, Dick?
Because I've seen documents for that when I was with AlphaCom.
You've seen documents about what?
About people being on Mars, the Moon, and other planets as well.
Well, then, you know, one of the things that she said was that, and she told us it's a friend of a friend that is how she got the information, from somebody that works at JPL, that said that these people walk right up to the rovers, and they have pictures of that.
I cannot attest to that, but I do know that there are bases up there, and I've not heard anything about the pictures, but I think she's right on target about people being on those planets. That's a fact.
All right. Man, thanks for the call.
You're quite welcome.
All right.
I
don't know if you know him. That's Dick Criswell.
No, I don't.
He used to be on a team called AlphaCom team that was formed back during the Clinton administration. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Paul from New York City.
Hello, Paul.
How are you doing tonight?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just want to let Emily know that I also agree. I think she's right on target. From the photos that I've seen on the internet, I mean, on Mars, I've seen trees, I've seen bushes, I've seen what looked to be like streams, and I saw that one incredible photo, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen it, of what looks like a some sort of statue or a person that one of the rovers pictured, and it just looks like a human. It looks like a woman, and she has her arm out, and she's just standing there. And, you know, I don't think I've ever got a comment because I've been looking on the NASA website, and they put out the picture, but there was never any comment on it. And there were a number of other anomalies that are on there. And no, it's not talked about. It's really not. And I totally agree with her.
All right, Emily, any comment?
Yes. Yes, indeed. The picture of the woman with her arm raised is, in fact, when you magnify the picture to 200%, you see that it's on a pedestal. And it is a statue of a woman who's left-handed throwing a rock at a large serpent that's at her feet. Behind her is a lot, an aggregation of a lot of, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's really hard to tell because it's such in the distance. But you can see, if you will, enlarge that picture in a photo program to 100 to 200%, you'll see the pedestal that's under her feet. On that same picture, way up in the right-hand corner, upper corner, I found a small group of five cats, and I sent Kevin the picture of the five cats. I have a large, enlarged version of that whole rover panorama on my website. I believe I put it up for June the 26th in the blog. You can see the whole thing blown up. It's really an amazing picture when it, after it's been colored.
I mean, it's just amazing looking at it just the way it is right now. I mean, to do what you say, and I would love to take a look at that.
Yes, because see, it's not red. It's all red the way it is,
exactly,
that
yes.
NASA did it, but it's not red at all. It's actually mostly gray. There's a lot of water. There's a lot of stuff going on in that picture.
What are your thoughts on the pictures of the forest and the trees?
Well, of course, and because Mars has seasons, it's not difficult to get pictures of the trees when they don't have any leaves, okay? It is now winter. I noticed in the Mars Phoenix project, in commenting about the pictures that had returned, it happened to mention that it is now winter there. Okay, so the color of the land is different now than it would be when it's spring or summer. It's a lot more gray and dismal now than it will be in the spring during the thaw or after the greenery reawakens in the spring for the summertime. They have fun there too, just like we do.
Yeah, and also that I'm sure you saw the picture of the what looks like some sort of tunnel that goes about, and there's what looks to be like some kind of car in it that's running through this tunnel. And it's also,
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
But I've seen plenty of cars.
Well,
I've seen plenty of cars.
It's amazing. It just looks like some kind of wormhole, and it's on the top. And it looks like a railway system, some kind of transportation system. And
sure.
You can see the sunlight is reflecting off what looks to be like some kind of car or some kind of transportation inside the tunnel that's taking it back and forth. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's not that amazing. It's what's amazing is that we're amazed. Because they simply have a human society there. They have everything we have.
Wow. And have you have any pictures or have you seen any pictures of caves on Mars?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you sent me Hellas Basin.
Yes. That's a crater, and you can see how they've scooped out inside the crater in order to use it. I thought that was a fascinating picture.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's up on the screen now, and it looks like there are at least two very large rectangular openings in the side of that crater.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, you're going to have to hang on through the break. You want to do that?
Yeah, I just have one last question.
All right, hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Quitting time. I guess now girl, it's what you call love. Get some ready for waiting time. It seems the true color. Get some ready for quitting time.
All right, we are back. My guest is Emily Craig. You still with me, Emily?
Yeah, I sure am. This is fun.
All right, caller, you still with me?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
All right. You had another question. Go ahead.
Yes. I was wondering if Emily saw the video. I don't know.
Okay, your volume is very, very low. You're going to have to speak up.
The documentary that was made in 1962, which they say is a fake, that the Americans and the Russians did a secret mission to Mars.
Yes,
and
I saw it.
They did find life there.
Yes.
And
I saw it.
Do you think it's a legitimate factual representation of what happened? And did
I have not been able to determine whether it is genuine or not.
Okay. Great. Right, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. The telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. 623-581-5148, and the guest is Emily. All right, let me go to a flash message, and caller, if you will, just hang on. I'll get to you in just a second. Flash message says, so NASA is covering up all this inhabitation. They're also publishing photos which show it all. Are you kidding? This chick is flat nuts.
Disconnect. Doesn't work.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dave from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay, from where?
Scottsdale, Arizona.
From Scottsdale, all right.
I've been through there.
Yeah, your neck of the woods, Kevin. My question is, in regard to the people on Mars in relation to us people on Earth, I'm assuming that the people that are on Mars are aware of Earth, and that's insofar as our civilization, perhaps the different cultures here. And again, that's an assumption. If that's the case, why is there such a disconnect between the people on Mars in regard to what we're doing here? Because it seems like there's so much more going on here as far as, like, sports, politics, et cetera. I mean, how do these people keep themselves busy if they're on Mars?
Because I don't see any radio towers on Mars, I don't see evidence of mass communication the way we do it, I would tend to question whether, in fact, the people on Mars know very much about us at all. They may not know about us at all, just like the people here are not allowed to know about them.
All right, let me ask a question here. If they don't know about us, then if they, you know, they don't have any high-tech communications, if that's the case, then would you say that we are more advanced than they are technologically?
Have a technological elite, and I believe they have a technological elite. But like we have people living in the outback of Australia, and we have people living in the middle of the country who, you know, we have groups that are not technological elites. And so I see that difference there too. I see their cities look like our cities on Google Maps. But the only people I've been able to actually get photographs of are the ones out in the middle of nowhere. So they're not the people who have the technology. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense to me. How about you, caller?
Yeah, somewhat. It kind of leads to my next question in regard to our situation. This is more for Kevin. I'm kind of new. I'm not new to the subject of the existence of aliens, and perhaps there's technology that's being suppressed, perhaps there's not. I'm new in the sense that I haven't really researched it or looked into it myself. Where would be a good start as far as, like, maybe material online or in a book or whatever? Where would it be a good start for me to kind of find out the quote-unquote truth of not only alien existence, but any technologies that have been suppressed from the public?
Well, you know, there are several places. Now, let me caution you in your search for the truth. Searching for the truth is a very, very good and noble thing. It is also a trip through a minefield. Okay.
And this way, I've been following Alex Jones for a while, and that's where I've kind of felt like I've been led. And I'll just leave it at that.
That's
well,
cool. I like Alex.
There are several places if you want to start looking at the possibility of civilizations existing elsewhere. Several places. I would recommend Richard Hoagland's website. It's called enterprisemission.com. I would recommend any and all of his books. Zachariah Sitchin's books, having to do with, you're familiar with those?
Familiar with them. I actually tried to get the first of his series at one of the library here, and they didn't have it.
Well, I'm not surprised. Look, we're out here in Arizona where we don't change our time, and by God, we don't change our mind.
Yes.
All right. Now,
I do like Alex Jones, by the way. I just think politically, I mean, what he's talking about with 9/11 truth is great. Politically, he doesn't really know what he's talking about.
Well, let's leave that to Alex and his show, and
I agree. And
we'll focus on Mars here, but. Also, anything by Joseph Farrell. There's a book that he's written called The Cosmic Warfare. It's an excellent book.
How do you spell his last name?
F-A-R-R-E-L-L.
Okay.
So those are some good places to get started. You want to also check out IPUSnetwork.com. That's IPUSnetwork.com. And then I'm going to give you also alienseekernews.com. Now, that's where you'll find a big collection of a lot of articles by a lot of different writers with a very diverse background. So those are some good places to get started.
Okay, great.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Just one final thought. I'll hang up. What do you think of John Lear?
I think he's interesting. I think he's very interesting, highly controversial, and one of the things that people will say to me sometimes when I'm just talking with acquaintances or friends about some of the upcoming guests or people that I would like to invite to be guests on the show, they'll say, well, you know, that guy's so controversial. Well, I got to tell you something. If what you're doing is not controversial, it's too boring to be on this show.
There you go.
Yeah.
John has a nice forum. John Lear has a very nice forum. I put a lot of my pictures there.
Pardon me while you caught me in the middle of a sip of coffee here. All right.
Okay.
Caller,
John, I put a lot of my Mars pictures up on John Lear's forum.
Okay. All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Scream into the phone, Kevin. You're hardly here.
It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
What's on your mind?
Well, I actually have two questions for you, Emily.
Uh-huh.
One is, have you ever done any extensive work with Richard C. Hoagland? And second of all, have you ever used your abilities to probably see what is going to happen with this New World Order and if it's actually... if all the talk we hear about the New World Order is actually true?
Well, the New World, yes, that's basically what I work on all the time. The New World Order is a manifestation of the ideology of the Orion Group. And the background information for that is in a video done by Alex Collier in 1994, which is on Google. It's a free video, 2 hours long. And he has the best handle on galactic and solar system history of anybody I've ever heard or read. I don't know what happened to Alex Collier. I guess he's hiding or he's still around or whatever. But that video is on the front page of my website, Abide Miracles. It's a freebie. You can download it. And it gives the background of the conflict between the Orion Group and the Alpha Draconis, who have taken over Mars since 1989. And I understand there are Alpha Draconis in this planet, in its interior, and they are the ones with the cigar-shaped UFOs that the Russians chased. Okay, so that's the cosmology that I know.
All right. You've brought up something there that there's no way we have enough time to deal with tonight, but I do want us to deal with it some, all right? And the sum goes like this. We've got a minute till break. In that minute, who are the Alpha Draconis? What are they doing on Mars? And if we don't get it all, we'll get it after the break.
Okay, the Alpha Draconis are a reptoid and a reptiloid race, not reptilian. They are basically reptile, yes, but they are not the same as the reptilians we got from the Anunnaki. And I'll stop there until you're after the break.
All right. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yes, Kevin, I'm sorry.
All right. You hang on through the break, and I'll get to you first thing after the break, all right? Because the break is going to take over right now. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Land. Had a look at the promised land.
where I spend the night. Breakfast at Thrift Food in the morning time.
All right, we're back, and Larry, hang on for just 1 second. I've been getting bunches of emails from HM, and I'm going to address those very quickly, and then we'll go to our caller. HM has been very, very, very negative, and here's just an example, and that's fine because it's a talk show, except he's using email instead of his voice. Ask her what the scale and resolution of those images is. I dare you. Oh, really? Do you? I dare you to listen to this show from the beginning because I already asked that question. And she already answered that question. All right? So I'm just going to address this so that others who feel the need, for a mouse to become a lion, which is what's happening here with you, HM. You're a mouse, and you're trying to be a lion because you don't have the cojones to pick up your telephone and call in. It's a talk show. It's not an email show. The flash messages are reserved for people who live outside the United States and outside of Canada, and you don't. So if you've got the steel and the spine of your email, you pick up your phone and call. Otherwise, ciao. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Larry in California.
Yeah, Larry.
Hi, Emily. How you doing?
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up to you that you were talking about Alex Collier, and he did come out of retirement, and he was actually at the Earth Transformation Conference that Dr. Sala put on in Hawaii. And then from there, Alex is going to go head on to Japan and give another lecture. And I haven't been able to find any of his latest materials or not, but you might want to try to get hold of them if you can get that information.
Well, the lecture he did in 94, that two-hour one,
yeah,
is such a standard, comprehensive, well-spoken, such a good summary that I just use it. I just use it over and over and over. It's kind of like a two-hour course in the galactic history that we never got in either science or history or anthropology or cosmology. It's just kind of basic. And if I find out it's wrong, I'll go for another source. But David Icke agrees with it, and there are a lot of other writers that basically agree with the timeline as Alex points it out. So that's just my standard resource for people who don't want to go reading 10 books in what happened. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I put him on my website too, and I really enjoyed his lecture that he had. But, you know, this with him coming out of retirement and going back on the circuit again, I wonder what new information he has to put out that would be good for everybody.
Yep.
But I just wanted to tell you that he was out of retirement. He's not hidden anymore. And
cool.
He is on the circuit again.
I'm looking for his new stuff, too.
Yeah, me too.
He's real bright.
Also, hey, Kevin, if I'm listening to your show and I don't like what's on there, I just turn it off. You know, I think everybody else should do that too rather than get mad. And
well, every once in a while, look, here's the deal. every once in a while, there are people who are sitting out there, first of all, probably thinking this is some hobby show. And they think that because it's the first time they've listened in. We're in 95 countries and on radio stations across this country. If you just go over to Yahoo and type in UFO talk show and see what pops up number one. Do it at MSN. Do it at Google. See what's there. Now the deal is this: if you got a comment to make, do like Larry. Pick up the telephone, call in, make your comment. And Larry, you know, because you've listened to this show before, if someone calls in and they don't like what the guest is saying, I don't stop them, do I?
Nope.
You get to say what you want to say. But hiding behind email doesn't work here. Larry, thanks for the call.
Hey, I'll let you go. Thank you.
All right. All right. We've got time for one more very quick call, and we'll take that at 623-581-5148, 623-581-5148. And but if you're going to do it, you got to do it right now because we're going to run out of time.
Kevin, this has really been fun. This has just been great for me. I really appreciate your inviting me.
Well, it's been, I'll tell you what, it's been one of those shows where the information just blows your socks off. You know, now, like many of the emails that I got from HM, I have to say that I have a difficult time seeing some of the things that you point out. I do see some of them. Some of them I don't see. But I, you know, it doesn't mean they're not there. It means my eye doesn't pick it up. But some of it I do see. And
but all you need is one. All you need is one to prove that Mars is not hostile to life.
Well,
the
and
proved it.
Yeah, and NASA themselves have, or maybe I should say NASA itself, has confirmed that with this report that came out about the soil. And they said, hey, you know what? This is just like the dirt in your backyard. You could grow, and I'm quoting, you could grow asparagus there.
Yep. And they've got water, so they might as well start growing asparagus.
I guess so. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but asparagus is finicky and hard to grow. But if you can grow it on Mars, that's some good dirt.
Now, isn't it a perennial?
Yeah. Once you get it to finally begin to thrive, it goes through shock when you plant it. And it's a little bit hard to keep it from doing that. But, you know, if you get it through shock, then it just keeps coming back.
It's not something I'm going to plant in my apartment, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Emily, you have a website where you've got many of these photographs. Would you like to tell us what it is?
Sure. It's Abide, A-B-I-D-E, miracles.com. And let me tell you the story about that strange name. About 10 years ago, when I first wanted to put up a website, I understood search engines because I'd had a computer course. So I started playing with words. And I put the word abide in there because it was at the beginning of the alphabet. And what do you know? The space came up in Google empty. And I said, goody, there's a good word to start my website. And so that was the first word. So then I started playing with other words. And when I put abide and miracles together and put it in the search engine, there was nothing there. And that's why I used that, because there's nothing there besides me.
All right. Now, do you have a book?
I have a bunch of books. Mm-hmm. And they're on the bottom of the website. I have a book about politics and a book about nutrition and three books about communities. One about the power of the tenfold power of return of ten. One about a pyramid gardening.
All right, are you going to do a book about this Mars stuff? We're just about out of time. We have to make that quick.
Yes, my son-in-law wants me to do a coffee table photographic book of the Mars planet.
All right.
I think it's a good idea.
I want to thank you for being with me this evening. If you will, just hang on, and I'll talk with you for a moment after we go off the air. All right, folks, as always, the Kevin Smith Show brings you things that will expand your mind and bend your mind and cause you to have to think. I do invite you, whether you agree with a guest or disagree with a guest, to call in and make your thoughts known. Why? Because it is a T-A-L-K talk show. And to the caller who is calling in right now, I have to tell you, you waited too late. All right? We just don't have time to take that call, and sorry about that. Try us tomorrow night. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.